Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Interview on KCAW Sitka. I'm Catherine Rose, and joining me in the studio this morning is author Debbie Miller. She's here to talk about her book that came out in May, but still pretty new, right?
Yes.
Let me get your microphone turned up there. Good morning, Debbie.
Yeah, good morning, Catherine. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in and joining us. So can you tell us a little bit about your book, which is available at Old Harbor Books now, A Wild Promise, Prince William Sound?
Yeah, this is a really special place that I felt very honored to work on this project. I started out as an artist in residence for the Chugach National Forest and spent two summers with them traveling around to different coves and bays and fjords in Prince William Sound. Just an extraordinary experience to see these special places through the eyes of two guides with the Forest Service. That's how it started. Mm-hmm. And then the real idea for this book came from a photographer in Fairbanks who I had worked with previously up in the Arctic, a fellow named Hugh Rose. Mm-hmm. And he was very passionate about Prince William Sound. He had been a guide in that area for many years, had a tremendous portfolio of photographs. And so when we finished an Arctic project, a book called On Arctic Ground, several years ago, and once we finished that book, he said, we've got to go to Prince William Sound, and you have to see this area, and we've got to find a publisher to produce a book about this place, which everything sort of gradually came about starting in 2013.
And I'm looking at the book right now, and it's just full of Hugh's beautiful, stunning wildlife photography and photography of the forest. And you're writing, too, and you spent five summers there researching?
Five summers, about 50 to 60 different anchor points, campsites, you know, hiking, paddling. On one particular trip, we paddled about 75 miles up College Fjord, up to the Harvard and Yale glaciers. Amazing country. And I did that with Richard Nelson. Recording. Everybody knows Nels.
Right.
And he was recording sounds, and I was writing and taking photos, and it was just a wonderful trip. And then I went on a number of other trips up Harriman Fjord. The Columbia Glacier was probably the most astonishing moment. Mm-hmm. I camped on the terminal moraine and expected to see the face of the glacier somewhere, but it had retreated 15 miles, and all I saw was water. And I was camping in a spot that was covered with about 1,000 feet of ice going back, you know, maybe 30, 40 years. So it's just the pace of glacial melt there, the rapid retreat of the glaciers is just phenomenal. And you get a sense when you look at John Muir's journals and sketches from when he visited the area back in 1898, mm-hmm. he was on the Harriman expedition, and they traveled extensively through College Fjord, Harriman Fjord, and he wrote about, you know, the glaciers, described them and how far they came into the sea, and then you look at them now, and it's a very different place. But
and a lot of the places where you camped were nearby where the Exxon Valdez oil spill happened, right? Yeah, how's the area recovering?
Yeah, it has been recovering now for almost 30 years. It's been a place of resilience, healing. Mm-hmm. Some of the species now have come back fully, like the sea otters, for example. About 3,000 or 4,000 of them died in 1989 from being oiled. It was a really tragic time for those of us that were living here. I had a daughter at the time at age two, and she one night said, turn off the news. She said, you know, when is the oil spill going to be over? It was really hard to live through, and those that worked to clean it up. Mm-hmm. But if you go there today, it, you know, relatively pristine when you look at the beaches. I really looked for oil, mm-hmm. and dug down into the sand, you know, thinking that I might find some in the substrate, which there still is. So it's not completely gone. You know, it's, if you go deep, you'll find it, tar balls. But for the most part, things are coming back, and a lot of the birds that they've monitored since the spill have recovered to their pre-spill numbers, and they continue to, you know, to monitor the area. The herring population is still depressed, and a population of orca whales will become extinct. You know, so we've got some heartache there still when you look at it. But like anything else, over time, nature heals. And they've taken steps to make it safer with transporting oil, with double hull tankers and tugboats that escort those tankers and specialized pilots that drive the boats. So all of that is good. You know, it's all good. I mean, we can't eliminate all risks, and we still drive cars. I mean, mm-hmm. one day maybe we won't use oil, and we won't have to worry about oil spills, which would be a real wonderful dream.
So why did you decide to write this book? What was the impetus?
The impetus was this particular area that we feature in the book. It's a place called the Nellie Juan College Fjord Wilderness Study Area. And under the Lands Act in 1980, this area was established. It's about 2 million acres, which is about 35% of the Chugach National Forest. So, you know, roughly a third of this area was put by Congress into a wilderness study area for a possible future wilderness designation. Well, that was almost 40 years ago, and it's still a study area. So the Forest Service is developing a new management plan. And there's a comment period right now about that draft plan that's opened until November 1st. The public can comment about the various alternatives for management, one of them being to make that College Fjord area a permanent wilderness. About 97% of the original wilderness study area would be proposed to Congress as a wilderness. And that was, I think, the intent of Congress, really. They made it a study area. It's just nothing ever happened. And now as the public, you know, whether you live in Sitka or Cordova or Valdez or Anchorage, Prince William Sound, this is a place people really love across Alaska. Even in Fairbanks, people will go down there in the summer to go fishing and recreating, kayaking. And I like to think of it as the sister forest of the Tongass because it's all connected. It's all a part of one temperate rainforest, the largest in the world. And when you're around Prince William Sound, you're at the northern fringe of that forest, which mm-hmm. extends all the way down the coast as far south as, you know, Muir Woods in Northern California. And so we're connected to it. It's a beautiful forest with, you know, the largest concentration of these tidewater glaciers in North America. It's just spectacular in beauty and mountains that are twice as high as the mountains that we have here on Baranof Island. They really shoot up from the sea. So it's a dramatic kind of a wilderness that should be protected, roadless, you know, no roads, no industrial development, you know, and you still have plenty of forest left for other multiple uses. And so I think it's a good idea, and I'm hoping that people will take the time to go on to the Chugach National Forest website. They have a great homepage that can take you to the plan and makes it very easy to make a comment that you support protecting this wilderness area. Alternative D is the one that I'm kind of, you know, suggesting that people look at because that's the strongest alternative for setting this area aside and protecting it in its wilderness character, which would be really an exciting thing, I think, for all of Alaska to know that, you know, that all the people that come to this area hundreds of years from now, it will still look the same. With the maybe the glaciers will be farther in retreat, but mm-hmm. as far as the forest, you know, the bays, the estuaries, the beautiful sound itself, you know, that it'll be intact as an ecosystem. Mm-hmm.
So where can people go to give public comment? The Chugach
National Forest website. The Chugach National Forest, if you just can remember that, just the mm-hmm. Chugach instead of the website, which goes on, you know, with the fs.usda.
Right.
But the Chugach National Forest, if you Google that, it'll take you to the homepage, and it right on the homepage it talks about the management plan and a place to that you can click to comment and to read the plan with good maps that show the area. And we have a good map in the book if you're at Old Harbor Books and you want to check out the map where this area is proposed. It's in the book, so that might be helpful to people if they want a paper copy of the map.
And is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off this morning, Debbie?
Just that the forest we have here around Sitka is just spectacular. Just love the Tongass National Forest. And I thought this morning, well, why should people in Sitka, you know, care about the Chugach? And, you know, to me, it's the Tongass to Sitkins is like the Chugach is to Cordova, which is a fishing tourism community. You know, the Chugach is, you know, to Valdez and Anchorage as the Tongass is for us. So I just think we need to support, you know, our fellow Alaskans and how we care about other places in Alaska that are special for people all over the world that come to see what we have here. It's spectacular. We're so lucky, and the public lands belong to everybody. Some people will say public lands that are set aside, lockup areas, forest lands or national parks, but they actually lock them open so that people can always go in and there are no signs or fences that say you can't enter this property. So it's not privatization. It's for all of us. And I think that's something to remember that's special about Alaska.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Debbie. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in.
Yeah, thank you, Catherine. And what a great day for rain.
Yes. I have been speaking with Debbie Miller. She's the author of A Wild Promise, Prince William Sound, about the Chugach National Forest. It's available now at Old Harbor Books. Thanks again.
Thank you.